Welcome back to Open House with Mark Sewick and Corey James Moran, brought to you by the Mark Sewick team at Keller Williams, a Greater Rochester real estate podcast. This is episode number 12. Strategies for buyers.
All right. How you doing, Corey?
I'm doing good. Feeling refreshed, recharged after the 4th of July weekend.
Well, yeah, you had quite the week last week. I mean, I'm not sure. Is this appropriate? I mean, your son gave you a little bit of a...
Yeah. Should I share?
Go for it. I mean, you forced me the past few episodes
that's true.
To share. Yes.
That's fair.
So.
Okay. All right. So I got a FaceTime from my wife because I wasn't home. A morning last week, and it was of my son Mason, who turned 2 back in April, so going on 2.5, being adorable, playing in his crib, at first glance anyways. I take a moment and I kind of reassess the imagery, and my brain's trying to process what it's seeing, and he has no diaper on, and there is feces everywhere. Apologies if you're eating right now. Everywhere, and she is just beside herself, like, what do I do exactly? I mean, it's all over him. It's all over his bed.
My God.
There's handprints on the crib. I mean, it was a disaster, and I couldn't have been more delighted to have been at work. I love my wife so much for handling that. She had to step up. So, obviously, after she took a moment to collect herself, had to give him a bath. Which was great because he protested and threw a tantrum and was hitting her in the face with his feces hands.
Oh.
So it's getting all over.
God, is this really, you know, I'm wondering whether or not I should have actually even brought it up.
I could get more graphic if you want, but I think you get the picture.
No.
Get the gist of it.
Yeah.
But all is well.
Why don't we talk about real estate?
You asked for this. I want to just bring that back around. You asked for this.
I'm glad you had a peaceful weekend.
Yes. So let me get the seg. I love real estate because it took me away from having to clean up the poop.
What a segue. That was beautiful. I should have just kept my mouth shut.
Yeah.
Your own segue all teed up.
But yes, you know, kids are adorable and cute and oh so gross.
So cute and so adorable. That you're expecting your second.
We are, yep, October 21st.
There we go.
So there we go. But yes, let's dive on into the podcast. If you missed last week.
I don't think it's better from here, folks, I swear.
Well,
my apologies.
It's good to set the expectation, right?
Yeah, we got a pretty low bar at the moment. So
last week we got into the reality of flipping a house. Again, a little play on words with reality in quotes because of HGTV and how many shows there are that make it seem like it's the most fun time ever. So if it's something you've ever considered, you may want to go back and listen to that. Just get a little information for yourself. Again, not saying don't do it, just saying know what you're getting into. So before we get into the episode for this week, let's get a little market update. As we talked about last week, headed into the 4th of July weekend, we anticipated another little slowdown. And, well, we got it. So as of the time of this recording, we have 480 current active listings in Monroe County.
Oh, boy.
That's down from about 500 last week, so we're ticking down a little bit.
Again, not surprising, as you said. Yeah.
And then as far as the 6-county region, actually, it's just slightly up, barely. 908 up from 900 last week. So I think this upcoming week and when we do the podcast next week is going to probably tell quite a bit of where things are headed.
It will be an interesting week. I do... And I know we do occasionally repeat ourselves, but these are trends. Exactly. And, you know, every once in a while there's a slight change. So I still contend that we're going to have, it's a good market. It's a good market for sellers in particular. It's an easier market for buyers at the moment.
Yes.
I think that current conditions are going to remain the same for the next 7 weeks, thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
And then come Labor Day, we're off and running again. And I think it's just, you know, as I said last week, I honestly believe that I'll be negotiating a contract while placing a turkey in the oven. It's going to be pretty, pretty crazy.
Yeah, I have noticed now it has seemed to slow a little bit, especially when it comes to buyers, which if you have been thinking about jumping in, now might be a good time. You're not going to believe this, Mark. My wife actually just called me before we started recording. And this was real estate related.
Okay.
So someone she knows, I'm not going to say who they went with, but they ended up selling their home in Pittsford for under asking price.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Haven't heard about that recently.
No. But and along the same lines, Mark Crandall from our team, I think he sold, you know, $1.5 million or something in the month of June. A lot of it he was attributing to the fact that his buyers finally had less competition.
Big time, yeah.
Which is, by the way, speaking of our team, monumental. The first, we concluded, almost to the day and to the penny, we concluded the first 6 months of the year having sold $50 million.
Strong.
$50 million. It's unbelievable. So when you're editing this,
yeah,
if you could just, you know,
echo?
A trumpet, a trill.
Fireworks
sound
effects?
A fanfare, something. Something along those lines. That is honestly $50 million
in
6 months. It really is. So hats off to the remarkable team that we've assembled.
But you brought up a great point when it comes to just even having a little bit less competition. I mean, how many buyers are out there where they've been second, they've been third? And if
right.
you just remove a couple of those offers from the equation, it obviously makes it a whole lot more simple. I had a buyer last week that kind of inspired what we're going to talk about today with some strategies for buyers. We'll get to the strategy that I used for him, but let's just run through a handful of them.
Great.
What
do you think?
Terrific.
Absolutely.
The best possible thing you can do is just have a big old bag of cash. I mean, that's right there. If you can do an all cash offer, go for it. That's going to be the strongest possible position to put yourself in. Obviously, that is not something that everyone can do. So but there's been a lot of people who have, though, shockingly.
I'm still trying to figure out where these buyers are coming up with.
Has there been a rash of bank robberies?
It's one thing if you're dealing with, let's call it, you know, a house over $400,000 that's being purchased by somebody who's in their 40s, 50s. That makes sense. You know,
yeah.
You've had plenty of time. I'm astounded by the number of 28-year-olds who seem somehow or another to have been able to lay their hands on $200,000 in cash. Now, I would venture to guess, and you would know better than I, given the number of buyers that you work with, a lot of this has got to be money that's being fronted to them by mom and dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Have experienced a little bit of that, and had quite a bit of luck with that. So if mom and dad want to give you front the money, then go for it. Because again, that's going to be the best way. I don't think I haven't lost. If I put a cash offer in, I haven't lost.
Oh, there you have it.
So there it is. But again, we understand that that is not viable for everyone. So there are some other things you can do. Let me tell you about the strategy that I used for my client, Patrick, who just purchased last week. We just got an offer accepted. So this is what's known as a cash out refi. Okay, so this, essentially in the eyes of the listing agent, in the eyes of the seller, it's cash, right?
Mm-hmm.
But basically how this works is you have to have the cash up front. But immediately upon closing, you can set up a mortgage. So for example, he's going to go through GRB.
Great.
And he is going to immediately refinance, and they're going to give him however much back that he wants, up to the whatever percentage he wants. So he's not just, he has that cash out there, he hands that over, and then he essentially gets reimbursed, and then he's into a normal mortgage.
Now, this works for somebody who currently owns a residence. Is this what you're saying?
So this had actually nothing to do with the sale of his home, which he does have coming, and he's going to use that. You know what he actually did is, because he is a little older, so there wasn't going to be penalty, he was going to pull it from his 401k, and then you have 60 days to put it back in.
Okay, that makes, yes. That makes sense to me.
Yep.
Because when I think of cash out refi, I always think of an existing residence, somebody who's refinancing the existing residence. So they're tapping into their retirement savings.
Okay. Essentially using that as their proof of funds. They're going to close using that money, and then they're going to essentially jump right into a mortgage after the fact. So that money's only gone for a short period of time, and then he's back to a normal mortgage. So that was something we were able to do.
But then the commonality between these first two strategies, you've got to have access to either cash or a retirement funds that you can tap into. A third, along the same lines, would be somebody who actually owns an existing residence.
Yep.
And you're refinancing that property and just using that the funds from the refinance to purchase the next. So that's always a great strategy.
So there's a couple of ways around it. There are some also same as cash guarantees that are floating around from some banks that you may have heard of. So that's another, that's kind of the lower level. That's like a close to cash thing. If that is up against a true cash offer, it's still going to lose.
Right.
But if it's up against any other financing,
it
should prevail.
Premium has had a lot of success with just this program, so much so that Genesee Regional Bank is very, very quickly realizing, okay, we got to catch up. And which is actually, as I was talking to some of the guys over at GRB, I've actually encouraged them. This, what's going on in the market today is very interesting. Now, I don't think that market conditions as they exist today are going to exist 3 years from now or 4 years from now, five years. But there is one thing that's playing out right now, and it's happening throughout the globe, throughout the world. Everything moves so much more quickly, and you've got to know how to pivot. Genesee Regional Bank, frankly, we love them. I mean, they're awesome. They're really terrific. But I've encouraged them moving forward. They need to create some kind of a committee so that when market conditions change and there's a new product in the market, they don't have the privilege moving forward of waiting 6 months to have the Vice President, you know, 17,
right,
approve sure, approve the new process. So I'm hoping moving forward that, I get a little off topic here, but it really does point to the fact that you need to have great practitioners moving very, very quickly, pivoting and thinking outside of the box.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
it's so thin. It's razor thin between prevailing and being second.
Razor thin.
And when it comes down to it, second's great, but it's no, it's not actually. You don't get anything for second if putting an offer in for house.
Yeah.
So there is that. Those cash guarantees are floating around. Now, if you do have to go financing, conventional mortgage is the way to go. That's the strongest one for you. And we've, again, you know, a lot of the similar themes come up throughout these podcasts, and I know we've mentioned this before, that the strongest possible financing is going to be the local financing.
Right. And I've talked about this in the past, but I think it's worth repeating for those who may not have heard. Corey deals with a lot of buyers. I deal primarily with sellers. When I have 14 or 16 offers in front of me, I create four different piles. The first pile are those buyers, and they still exist, buyers who have never seen the property. We just take those purchase offers and we throw them into a can. Then the next pile, we will consider offers if we need to from these online Rocket Mortgage,
sure,
or Quicken or all these. They're terrible. They're just so, so difficult to work with. But, you know, if we have to, okay, we will. The next pile, which is are the big box banks. M&T, HSBC, Chase, all those. If we have to, we'll go with them. Next pile, actually, are those the local banks, Genesee Regional Bank, and any local credit, Eastman Savings and Loan, although Eastman Federal Credit Union, I should say. And then the last and final, as you've said several times now, cash is king. That's the final pile. So,
if you're able to go with the local, we strongly recommend that. It was interesting. I was watching golf over the weekend. It was the Rocket Mortgage whatever classic, and there was the signs were everywhere. And I just kept thinking about, a lot of people are going to use this just because of the branding and the amount of advertisement that's out there.
So, again,
that's why we stress to our clients, because if you didn't know any better, you probably would, I've seen their commercials. That seems great.
What's actually terrifying, I'm just thinking about this. My God, people love Zillow.
Yeah.
Even though it's notoriously inaccurate.
Yeah.
And it really comes down to some 26-year-old kid in a cubicle in Cupertino, California, writing code, trying to determine the value.
It's the algorithm.
He's writing an algorithm. Anyway, he's trying to forecast what a property 3,500 miles away is going to be selling for.
Right.
Despite the fact that they don't know whether the kitchen's been updated, last week or 20 years ago. Wouldn't it be fascinating to think what would happen if Zillow actually got into the mortgage business? Because their brand name is so strong.
Sure.
People love Zillow. It's got such positives, despite the fact that I would contend that it would only be a disaster, but would more likely than not lure a lot of prospective clients.
Probably.
Just because of the strength of that brand.
For sure. And we'll touch on, put a little pin on that. We'll get back to that a little bit later on. But let's keep moving here as far as some strategies for buyers and what to use. So again, one of the biggest reasons why cash is king is because it is less of a contingency. There's no mortgage contingency. Even if you're pre-approved for X amount, things can happen and that might not go through, which for the sellers that you represent, Mark, they want to guarantee that this is going to go through. This deal will happen.
Right.
And if they can go cash, where it's there, they have it. It's not going anywhere.
Yep.
Versus a mortgage commitment that most likely will go through, but there's a chance that it won't.
Well, and I think one of the strategies that we've used, and I think this is probably going to be one of your next points, I've had clients who have sold the property $100,000 over asking. These are clients who could have sold their property $105,000 over asking. In other words, we had an offer on the table for $100,000 over asking, an offer on the table $105,000 over asking. They've actually gone with they've lost potentially $5,000 because the $100,000 over asking was all cash.
Yep.
And the $105,000 purchase offer had a mortgage. And as a result of it having a mortgage, there was an appraisal that was associated with that. And the appraisal, oh boy, you've got to hope that the bank is going to appraise the property for $105,000 over what it is that you had listed it for. Otherwise, there are potentially going to be problems. And I think that
it's teed me up perfectly. Yeah.
Go for it.
So yeah, you want to be able to fight against an appraisal gap. So obviously cash again is the best way to go. You just don't have to worry about it. It's not there.
So what's an appraisal gap?
So the appraisal gap would be where, let's say we purchase a property for you for $350,000. That's the sale price. It only gets appraised for $340,000. Well, guess what? There's 10 grand right there where we need to come to terms. And there's a few things that can happen. One of the things that can happen is that you can just up and pay it. You can try to renegotiate with the seller and bring them down, or the deal dies.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty much the three outcomes,
yeah,
right, Mark?
Right, yeah, yeah.
So obviously, if that's another thing that could be in the way, then that can be an issue. And again, if you have cash, it's not a problem. There's no appraisal. If you're going financing, there is. So to fight against that, you can put it into the contract. And I've used this, actually got this for a client. Finally, after 12 offers, they finally prevailed on a bid. And it was with guaranteeing the full appraisal amount, which again, you're going to see a common theme here. Having a lot of cash is going to help you. Having a lot of money is going to be able to help you.
But also having the right team of players.
Totally.
So I received a call last night from a buyer that I had referred to Josh Bartolotta on our team. This buyer was guaranteeing any gap that might have existed. And he was genuinely fearful that he was somehow or another going to be forced on the day of closing to come up with $25,000, $35,000,
right,
perhaps even in his mind, $50,000. We made sure that we reached out to an appraiser we've known, that I worked with for 30 years, somebody that I've known for a long time, and I made sure that it was the right appraiser who was actually going to appraise this property so that the buyer wasn't suddenly coming up with $25,000, $35,000
sure,
in a pocket.
Absolutely.
And so having the right team of players around you so that, you know, if it's the run-of-the-mill, you know, a property's been appraised out, great. You know, Joe Appraiser, that's perfectly
right,
fine. He's great. If you need a favor, you need to be able to pick up the phone and call the right individual. And I'm so grateful for, I'll call him Anthony.
There you go.
yes.
Sounds good. Some people may be a little uncomfortable with having the full appraisal gap. You can write in the contract, you can go up to $5,000, up to $10,000, whatever amount that you want to put in there. So another strategy is to make that offer a little bit stronger. And when it's going up against, again, razor thin margins here, when it's going up against another offer that doesn't have that in there, I mean, I'm thinking of a deal right now in my head of that was the difference. Our offers, our price was the exact same. Everything else was the same.
Yep.
We offered more as far as guaranteeing appraisal.
Right.
And that's what put us over the top. So again, it's a lot of this little nuance that for anyone that tries to do this on their own, I mean, I don't say this just to try to get people to, you know, to hire us or to hire a real estate agent in general. I truly mean that. It's so tough out there.
Well, I think did I mention Kate last week? My friend Kate?
Yes, you did. Oh, yes.
Yeah. And she's still struggling to put together, to make her daughter's deal come together. They chose to purchase a property that was listed for sale by owner, and they are potentially losing money. They are, at the very least, are closing 3 weeks, 4 weeks later than they proposed.
Yeah.
Like, just ugly, just really ugly. So you didn't mention any of the issues concerning closing date or possession.
Yeah. Oh, I'm getting there.
Okay.
I'm getting there. There's more. There's more to do.
All right.
So we can go there. We can go there.
Let's
now.
Let's go.
I got a couple other strategies that we can put in there that's going to put you in the best possible position to prevail on this offer. And sure, let's start with post-possession. So if you don't know, post-possession is essentially you're going to close on that property. It becomes your property, but the current owners are going to live there for X amount of time, be it a month, two, what have you. Now, in the contract, you can write it up where they have to pay you X amount for that time. Some people have been waiving that, saying you can live there mm-hmm. for free for 3 months. Just another way to entice sellers
right.
And you know, this is an extreme example, obviously. I don't think most people would want to buy a house and then just, oh, for 3 months, someone else is going to live there. I can't even move in. But when it comes down to if you need to make it that much stronger, if it's a home you know is going to be incredibly competitive, then sometimes that's the steps you need to take.
There's a variation on the theme that just worked well for Aaron Duffy on the team. I had a seller with a gorgeous house in Pittsburgh. Last year, the property was probably worth $685,000, thereabouts. I picked up the phone. I called Sandy. I said, Sandy, listen, we're at the peak of the market. This is back in the middle of May. And I just had a sense that the middle of May was going to be the peak of the market and it was going to start to. I said, I think we can get $750,000 for the sale of your property today. She said, Mark, I've got nowhere to go. You know that. You know, I mean, we've been banging our head against the wall for the past 6 months. I said, I think that Erin can convince her buyers to close anytime in the next 365 days.
Wow, okay. Yep.
And indeed it happened.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was just fantastic. So all of a sudden, Sandy's got a $750,000 offer. She's hoping that sometime in November, December, January, when the market will be slower,
yep,
and she's able to pick something up for less money, that the right property will come
sure
along. And at that point in time, the buyer will then be obligated to close, you know, November, December. It's, if you're willing to think outside of the box, and if you're willing to also capitalize on your clients' needs and their desires, you can make things happen. So
that's such a really important point, just from the buyer side too, of obviously the people that bought that house had to have the flexibility to be able to make that offer.
Right.
So that speaks back to one of our earlier podcasts of just get started. Give yourself time.
Yes.
It's so critically important because there's already enough pressure. There's already enough stress to try to make it happen. When you put time constraints on it, it makes it so much more difficult. And we don't have some of the possibilities like that where name your close date. You want it to be in a year? All right, whatever. Fine, we can do that.
Yep.
Then you take that away from yourself. And you want to have everything with your arsenal, you know, at your disposal.
Every quiver you can possibly find, indeed.
So one more thing to touch on, I think, that I have here, again, as we go through some strategies for buyers, maybe the little thing that might not seem all that huge in the moment is going to be what puts you over the top. It's something that we've touched on a little bit before, and, you know, it's another contingency, the inspection.
Ah, yes.
So we've talked about it before. It has become more commonplace than is comfortable that inspections are waived.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly we understand why that makes clients uncomfortable. It makes us uncomfortable, to be honest with you.
It makes us very, very, yeah, we want to make sure that we're protect. Well, we want to make sure that we're protecting our client in every way possible.
Sure.
So what do we do?
So we have a little workaround. And again, we've mentioned this, but I wanted to bring it back around because it is important where there is a happy medium where, all right, maybe we don't put the full hour and a half, 2 hour engineer's inspection into as a contingency into the contract. But what we can do is hire that same engineer to come through and do a 30-minute walkthrough. I told the story a few episodes ago. A couple from California, actually, they walked through on FaceTime with me. They had never been to the property, but obviously they didn't just want to bid on this property they've never been in without some sort of protection. So we hired an engineer and did that walkthrough, and they were able to point out all the things they should be aware of, because there's a big difference between you waive the inspection, you don't do this, you buy the house, you get in there and realize this, and this is wrong.
Right.
Versus
right,
you know ahead of time that, okay, we're going to have to work on this, and this, and we're okay with it.
And the key there is to make sure that there is enough time between your initial walkthrough where somebody says, oh my God, I really love this place.
Yeah.
And then you've got to make sure that before offers are due 2-3 days later, that you've got enough time to get an inspector in. Oh, and then you've, of course, got to run this by the agent representing the seller to make sure the seller is
permission
with it. Yes, exactly. But it's a great way of protecting your clients so that while at the same time removing one more contingency. You want as clean an offer as possible.
Yep.
And these are just some great examples. Again, it's really fascinating. I'm so fascinated by technology and the speed of change and the fact that there are all these weren't taking place. These strategies were not in place 9 months ago. But as the gladiators in the Colosseum have increasingly these agents have come up with more and more interesting ideas to prevail on behalf of their clients. And I'm just fascinated by it. And again, I would encourage all of our, the engineers, this is a perfect example. The engineers were dying.
Yeah.
They could not, they were not making any money. January, February, March, they weren't making any money because nobody was having any inspections.
Sure.
Finally, we started to come up with this, hey, can you come and do a half hour inspection? And they were just desperate, jumping
it's
at every
opportunity. It's very easy to schedule, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, yes.
Oh,
yes,
we're free. We're definitely very free.
Yes.
So at least it's something, something for them, and certainly, again, providing a little bit of protection for our buyers. Did I miss anything? I think we covered a lot of ground here.
Oh, you know, people should come spend a day just, you know, hanging out with us. I mean, that would be really fun. We should actually, we should do a lottery.
Do I do a lottery? You can come on the podcast. That could be part of it.
I think it would be really interesting to see just, we're not naming everything because every day new situations arise and there are new subtlety and there's nuance. But boy, it is interesting. And I would imagine that 3 months from now, we'll be talking about something new.
Probably,
that has hit the market that is really just fascinating and interesting and it's helping our clients to prevail.
For sure. So, but if you want to find out more, if you want to reach out and chat more about it, if anything that we've talked about has maybe enticed you of, hey, maybe this is something I might want to try to use to get that perfect home for me. You can certainly go to our website. It's, as always, marksiwiec.com, MarkSiwiec.com. You can call me directly, 607-341-1230, and would love to work with you. And again, I need to stress this. With this lull, it really is a good time. It's a better time than it has been in the past, year probably?
Right.
To dive in and give it a go, especially if you have time on your side. Because as we've talked about before, you don't have to necessarily put in an offer, but it's good to get the process rolling and kind of get an understanding of how this works.
And for those who have set the process aside, those who said on Memorial Day, that's it, I'm taking the entire summer, and this is a really, again, armies of people will be flooding, all armies of buyers will be flooding the market again come September. Well, if you've consumed enough margaritas, if you've had enough, you know, then, and if you've gotten enough beach time, then maybe it's time for you to consider re-entering the market now rather than doing so in 7 weeks when everybody else is tired of summer and moving into fall. So.
Absolutely. So next week on the podcast, so you actually kind of mentioned it a little bit. You mentioned Zillow earlier and the strength that comes with the branding and the marketing behind Zillow and similar type of discount brokerages. Is that what we want to describe them as?
Sure. Yeah. Discount brokerages. Are we talking specifically about mortgage? Or are we talking about listing?
It's for listing.
Yeah, I think listing. Yeah, discount brokerages. Yeah.
Because this is becoming kind of a new thing.
Yeah. I've been doing this for so long. I'm so old. I've seen so many. And there's one that just, and I won't get too much into it. We'll talk about it next week. But just yesterday noticed some new entrant into the market, a new company I've never heard of. They've got two listings. One of they are offering an agent who brings a prospective buyer to the table. They're offering 0.7%.
Typically 3%.
Right.
Throwing that out there.
So it's fantastic that it's fantastic if the seller is thinking, I just want to save in commission, but boy, oh boy, how much money are they leaving on the table as a result of doing this on their own or using an agent who has an inferior amount of experience? So
it comes down to, I think this is a phrase in life that's usually important, you get what you pay for.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, we'll get more into that next week with Open House with Mark Siwiec and Corey James Moran. Thanks for listening.
Have a great day.